morning, brethren. Get all my ducks in a row here. Warning lamp up. My message this morning, brethren, is on a single word. A single word that's mentioned throughout the Bible. What I've done is I put together a list of words that are teamed up with this word in Scripture. So I'm going to go ahead and read them off. Maybe when I'm done, you can figure out what this word is. Peace, lawful, comfort, pleasing, spiritually zealous, seek to excel, authority, beloved, good, and grace. I also have one that's a counterpart to this word, or its nemesis. And that word is disputes. So that would be a nemesis word. Anybody think they know it? Leon, you got it? Yes, those are a lot of statements that are used in a lot of different ways in the Bible. I thought I'd throw it out there. But the word that I want to talk about today is edification. The word edification. And I want to look at this word through the eyes of Paul in his teachings to Timothy. So if I could get you all to open up your Bible, let's go to 1 Timothy. And I know you're probably saying, Timothy again. I've used Timothy the last few messages I've given. There's so much usable information in those two books. That's just incredible. Divide them into little sections. It's just teaching after teaching, that things that we should all be installing into our lives. In the context here, I think we all know Paul's about to go to Macedonia. He asks Timothy to stay in Ephesus because there are doctrinal issues going on in Ephesus. Things like, he's telling Timothy, don't get caught up in the things that are being said. There are things that are being said that just aren't so. There are people talking about who belongs and who doesn't belong. I'm going to start off looking in verse 4. It says, let me move this back just a little bit. Hear me okay? Okay. It says, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which dispute. And this is where I'm going to use in foundation the word edification. And disputes. Rather than godly edification which is in faith. Godly edification which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love, for a pure heart, for a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And what I want to do, I want to refer to Mr. Peter Eddington on these two scriptures, because verse 5, you could read verse 5 all by itself, and it can stand on its own. But I wanted to be sure that there was a companionship between verse 4 and verse 5. And there is, where it says, rather than godly edification, which is in faith, there is a kinship with godly love. And over the years, we've heard messages time and time again. It says, the commandment is from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Now, the messages that we listen to, the messages that we have, are bringing us closer to God, teaching us His way, teaching us His law. And within that time that we go through those messages, it's purifying our heart. It's strengthening our heart. We've had message after message, especially in the Spring Holy Day season, of why it was Christ came and died for us, why He shed His blood, why the crucifixion occurred. And we can, when we have that knowledge and it becomes a part of us, we can go to Him sincerely in truth, submit our sins to Him, and be blotted out, forgotten, forgiven. And our conscience can be clear as a result of that knowledge. Those two words, those two actions, perpetuate the third. When you're close to God, when you're in that process of purifying your heart, becoming more as God would have us to be, when we're trained up in understanding who Jesus Christ is and recognizing that we can go to Him, we have faith. It's just a perpetuating circumstance. Having those two items perpetuate faith in our lives. Verse 6, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Now, having strayed, you know, where'd they stray from? They stray from their pack. They stray from their backyard. That's another companion scripture. I call these barometer scriptures. You know, when I, Mr. Noah asked me to speak for the first time, he came over to my house and we sat down at my table, and my first message is going to be on the first chapter of 2 Peter. Groups of words that God inspired to be put on the page that are literal barometers for us, that are segments to our conversion and our changing Christian life. And there are scriptures like that all through the Bible. And this is another one of those scriptures. Now, I just spoke in verse 5, the process that we go through to acquire those three things that are being talked there in verse 5. So when it says strayed there, what it's saying is that strayed from God's purity, His truth, having a clear conscience, and not being at the point that we should be. Having strayed, we turn to idle talk. If you would, let's turn back just a few pages. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 for us as God's people is an incredibly important chapter for us to study. It's one that gives us this incredible insight to what it takes to be representative of a body, of a unified piece in this puzzle, God's plan. It tells us the incredible miracles of the Holy Spirit, how it can be active in our life and how it can change us and turn us into what we need to be, how it creates endurance and strength in our lives. It also gives these incredibly contrasting points where God shows us, you know, this is how you can be, this is how you shouldn't be, and He lays these choices out in front of us. And Ephesians is awesome in that type of standard. But I'm going to look at verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may impart grace to the hearers. It's an unusual way to hear the word grace used, isn't it? And I've got an example of that, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But I first want to go back to the word corrupt. And I have another list of words. I don't know if you put that list down or not, but if you did, maybe put this one beside it. If not, just write it down, because I've got a little something I'd like for you to try at some point. And what I've got here is I've got definitions from both the Hebrew and the Greek for the word corrupt. So here they go. And I'll say them methodically and slow so you can get things down, because I think there's a good study you can do on this. The first word I have is destructive, offensive, spoiled, travailed, defiled, profane, polluted, battered, disfigured, and bad. And in my margin for the word edification on this page in the Bible, I've got a process of building up. Might be something nice to add or put into your notes. A process of building up. Now the example I'm going to talk to you about. And this is something I've challenged myself with. So I challenge you also to acquire this and use this. If you're ever, and this isn't just a church thing, it doesn't matter where you are, relatives, friends, lunch table, it doesn't matter. If you're around a group and say something's being brought up about an individual or a certain person who's had a positive effect in your life, or who has somehow motivated you in a positive direction to change your life, then, and I'm going to use this as a hypothetical. I could actually put name after name in this, but I'm going to use it as a hypothetical because you guys can insert the names that fit in your life. You know, such and such really inspired me to overcome this, and I really miss him. Or such and such, you know, he motivated me to be closer to God. He strengthened me to be closer to God, and I miss him. I miss him. And in this choice, see how the countenance of the conversations change. And I want to add this. If the countenance of the conversations don't change, you know, if you know, you hear, oh, well, you know, such and such is such and such. Well, you know, with a smile, you can just cordially and casually stand up and walk off. It's just that easy. You don't have to put yourself in any position to see or look like. You just cordially stand up and leave. You don't have to be a part of it. You know, this is a, I don't think that we've gotten so far away that this is a huge issue. But I do think that we need to recognize how much God feels this is an important aspect of our personalities and our character. You know, if he's willing in Timothy to say the things that he did, in a parallel with a reflection of his godly love, of edification, his godly edification being a byproduct of godly love, then we should really be looking at that in hard strength as it being a part of who we are. We want to be filled with godly love, correct? Let's flip back to Timothy. 1 Timothy. I'm running short on time, so I'm going to quickly go through this and get to my closing scriptures. Verse 7. I'll read verse 6 again. From which, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. They've gotten away from God. They aren't close with God. If they're studying, if they're praying, if they're meditating, if they're contemplating the choices they make as a result of how God will look at the choices we make, we wouldn't be separating ourselves and entering into idle talk, because we would have godly love, godly strength. We would be edifying, because it's a byproduct of having godly love. By which we know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. We know the law is good if one uses it lawfully. My God gives to us, right? You know, we try to live by his law. We want to live by his law. When my time is up, I want to go to my closing scriptures. So if I could get you to turn another few pages back to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. We're going to go to chapter 3. And I'm going to read them in a particular order, so please follow with me. Chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, brethren, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.